Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I just want to, first off, just want to clear something up with you, Addy. I understand, rumor has it, you're reeking with shabbitude.
Well, you know, I was feeling not too shabby when I woke up this morning. It's going to lead us to our first topic, though. Unfortunately, waking up to some sad news, Paul Bearer on his Twitter breaking the news that the death of Sir Oliver Humperdinck, 62 years old.
Real name John Sutton.
John Sutton, really been involved in professional wrestling for most of his life.
Yeah, and John Sutton took on the name Sir Oliver Humperdinck when he was working in the Montreal territory, which is essentially where he got his start as a performer. He had worked security, I understand, in AWA earlier, and ended up working as a performer in Montreal, and took on the name Sir Oliver Humperdinck because I believe they thought that it was a British-sounding name, and there's a large French-speaking population there, and that would give him a lot of heat.
Heat, yeah.
Yeah, and was a really somebody that came into national prominence for me. Though he was in the NWA in the early 80s, from about 80 to 83, I believe.
At the House of Humperdinck was his stable.
But the first time I really saw him was when he came into the WWE in the Battle for Bam Bam. And I know I have a lot of fond memories about that, and so do you. Do you want to hit that up a little bit, or do you want to talk a little more about his history? What would you like to do?
Well, Battle for Bam Bam. I should note he did manage the original Hollywood Blondes.
Yes, there's been three teams of Hollywood Blondes.
Buddy Roberts.
Many people. Yeah, Buddy Rogers and Jerry Brown were the original
Buddy
team.
Buddy Roberts,
And then what was it, Rip Rogers and I can't remember who his partner was, but Rip Rogers and another person were the second team, and then of course the Pillman and Austin, the ones that most people remember.
But the Battle for Bam Bam, I do remember the Battle for Bam Bam was something I remember coming. It came all the way down to Slick, and I just remember them standing on the podium there and Slick. And Vince McMahon didn't do a lot of babyface managers back then. You know, Lou Albano. You know, he had Arnold Skolin seconding Bob Backlund, and he had Lou Albano turning babyface and managing some guys, but they really didn't have.
That was largely because his career as an in-ring performer was going to wrap up, and they decided to turn him babyface first.
Mm-hmm.
That was largely why they did that, and you're right, they didn't have a lot of babyface managers at the time, and Bam Bam was coming across like very much a babyface character, so that had me a little bit confused, but there was the you know, the bids for this guy's services, and he came in getting a monster push. He, in the original Survivor Series, once Oliver Humperdinck was managing him, and Paul Orndorff at the time, had Paul Orndorff joined his team?
Just slightly later, yeah, that Paul Orndorff, when he fired Bobby Heenan for the second time, and took Oliver Humperdinck up as his manager, and then when it came to Bam Bam, Bam Bam Bigelow would feud originally with Nikolai Volkoff, is that was really the only person Sheiky had left, and I don't think Butch Reed had come back, had come in yet to be managed by Slick, and so he just had Nikolai Volkoff. So Nikolai Volkoff would feud with Bam Bam, of course, with Oliver Humperdinck with Bam Bam, and Slick with Nikolai, and then Nikolai was towards the end of his career at the time, and he'd still, I guess, continue on a little bit, but was really there to put Bam Bam over, and then Slick, of course, finding the one-man gang is the answer to Bam Bam Bigelow, and they had their feud, and so that's where Oliver Humperdinck got his WrestleMania appearance, was with Bam Bam against the one-man gang as part of the WrestleMania 4 tournament.
I have fond memories of him just as simply as just a character. I mean, you talk about nowadays everybody has a gimmick, and I understand why they've gone away from. I mean, they did try just, you know, in the last few years when they started to go into the PG TV, they started to try and bring back some characters and largely failing, not understanding what I think made the characters so unique in the 80s. But he was a character that you cannot forget. His look was just so unique.
The scepter,
the big red beard, the red hair, and of course the jacket.
The amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, essentially.
Yeah, and more than, and that's what I really remember about him, more than is that presence and that look and just mm-hmm. that charisma and that a character that you just cannot forget once you've seen him, that's really missing nowadays. And not so much his promos that I remember personally, but that just that character and you know, it's just something that's gone.
Yeah, it really is, and you said it there. It's just the charisma, and that's sort of what he. That is what he exuded, was just he'd do promos and he'd speak, but he didn't really even have to. It was just his presence at ringside and what he was able to do and point out, and you know, every time the camera would pan over to him and just, you know, the look in his eyes and everything was just was enough. And he didn't spend a lot of time in WWE.
No, he really didn't enjoy being a babyface. Yeah, he did not enjoy being a babyface. He preferred to be a heel. And then, of course, afterwards, he ended up being
Big Daddy Dink.
Big Daddy Dink. He ended up a biker gimmick, and that was really kind of a fail in WCW. And he wasn't really happy with the politics in WCW at the time towards his end.
Wow, who was?
And well, no, and that's the thing. So he sorry to hear of his passing. He never married, never had any children.
Okay.
You're in our thoughts, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, and our fond memories.
Yeah, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his friends and any family that he does have. And he'll be missed, and there'll never be another one. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely the thing. He's a symbol of a time that's passed. But I understand why it's passed, but a time that I certainly I love to look back on. So let's move on to something a little more. Well, obviously, you can't say more current, because you can't get any more current than what just happened with Sir Oliver Humperdinck, but something that's happening today in wrestling, and something maybe a little more upbeat, only slightly, I suppose, because I want to talk about the ratings for the main event. I mean, we recorded our last show. We dissected Raw pretty well. I mean, there wasn't wasn't a lot I think we left off the table. There was, I think I do want to ask your opinions on the CM Punk and Randy Orton feud, because we haven't talked about that an awful lot, but I'm going to get back to that. We'll talk about the ratings for the main event, which fell rather drastically with John Cena, Miz, and Alberto Del Rio, and as well the overrun, which fell, which never happens. I mean, the overrun never falls, and it did this time. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, as I said, I'm trying to think back, and it's been maybe, I want to say, 15 years since I've been really aware of the ratings and whatnot, when sort of getting online and seeing what was what. And I can't ever remember a time that the overrun, it may have happened, but I can't remember hearing about it. This is the first time I've ever seen the overrun go down.
And as long as there's a strong show following Raw, it's really inconceivable to think that the ratings could go down, because you have people tuning in and waiting for that next show. Now, of course, if you have to wait 20 minutes, it goes 20 minutes over the overrun, you might just say, fuck it, I'm not waiting
anymore. We don't motherfucking need it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm out of here, because I've been waiting for so long. This is never going to end if you're not into wrestling. That may have something to do with it.
I think that's key.
But even during the main event, the ratings were starting to go down. Mm-hmm. It was a down quarter, which is, and John Cena does not have a history of that.
I blame Brodius Clay.
WWE's going to blame somebody.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if it's him.
It's we talked about it before, is the beatdown did go forever. I mean, like, it just went on, and he did a move, and then it's like, okay, he's got him, and, you know, that's the knockout blow, and then he picked him up and he did another move. And it's like,
yeah, the point was already made. He hit one major move. The point was made, and then he hits another major move.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now the point's really made. Then he hits another major move.
Did we need another?
And you're like, Jesus Christ. Just enough.
Just bring him up to the fucking ramp, skull-crushing fucking finale him into that symbol, and that's all you need to do.
That's no, all you need to
we
do.
We didn't need to friggin' suplex him up there and body slam up there, and then a brief little comeback, flurry, oh my god, he's going to come back, and then just, no.
The brief little comeback I don't mind, because that goes into the Ricky Steamboat theory of how a baby face should go.
Never more than six moves without
firing back in some way to show that baby face fire, but that only lasted for a second. But so what do you think is the cause of it? What do you think is causing the ratings to go down? I think a lot of people are pointing the fingers at Miz, and I think there's a good chance the WWE, if they could change the main event for Raw now, I believe they probably would. I think they'd go, it doesn't work, let's get Orton in there, but they know they can't do that. They're locked into this for Mania.
I don't think they would do that, because I think that they're looking at it, probably like the rest of us are looking at it, we talked about it before, it's Rock and Cena. Rock and Cena is the main event of WrestleMania, and they're not even fucking fighting. Okay, that is it, though. Is it? That's the interest. And then Rock has to go, but The Miz. And now The Miz is trying to be like, oh, I'm here too. And it's just, that's what's not working.
Yeah, they did the beatdown. I just want to mention this. You're talking about how they're going, The Miz is here. They do the beatdown at the end, and one of the things that really got me and pissed me off was right at the end, he's standing over a scene after beating him down for, I believe, 375 days. And he's sitting there over top of me. He's holding the belt. And Cole goes, a lot of people will be questioning whether or not Miz deserves to be champion going to Mania. Well, nobody's questioning that now. And I'm going, yes, we are. What does they beating him up after there have to do to solve my question? And that's why I think they're confused. They think this should answer the question, people going, oh, he deserves to be champion. It's obvious they do, and it's obvious they think if they tell you it, that you'll think it's true too. But they, unfortunately, they continue to underestimate the audience's perception.
Well, the problem is, and again, you can't hop in your DeLorean and go back to the future, is that you started this guy off wrong.
You started him off wrong.
You gave him the title, and then he was an undeserving champion, and now they're trying to prove to people, no, it's okay, he's deserving now. And they're just expecting people to go, oh, okay, he's deserving now, cool. But no, who'd he ever beat?
Who'd he ever beat?
Much like Elvis.
Who'd he ever beat?
He's beaten Lawler. He lost by DQ to Khali, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, and he beat Morrison in that match, and that was
Morrison.
Great. But it was a great match. He should have beat Morrison, right?
Yeah, Morrison also lost to Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, yeah, he hasn't gone over.
And who did Dolph Ziggler ever beat on SmackDown?
He couldn't beat Orton clean.
Other than being world champion.
Yeah, exactly. He couldn't beat Orton clean. Okay, he couldn't beat Edge clean. He couldn't. Even if you fought Christian, it'd be Christian clean, maybe, right? But he's not. Been booked in a position, talk, and that's it. And great, we got a little bit of a rise because, TMZ said, oh, this guy that was on The Real World is now the friggin' wrestling champion. But other than that, what's he done?
Yeah, and when they called it the wrestling champion, of course, the WWE phoned TMZ and said, we're not wrestling.
No, that was...
We're an entertainment company.
That was...
Yeah, it wasn't TMZ, but
Dave Meltzer's morons. He was telling the story of the Drew Carey Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That they called up the newspaper that printed the article or whatnot.
That he's going into... Drew Carey inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They called him up and said, we're not wrestling.
Yes, that's
we're an entertainment company. We do not employ wrestlers. We employ superstars.
Yes.
I'd like to employ my cock into their mouths. What a bunch of assholes. They just do not understand. You're an entertainment company. You're a wrestling company that presents an entertainment product. You can say that, but don't deny that you're a wrestling company. There's a stigma. You were even talking about it a couple of days ago. You're talking about how there is a stigma still attached to wrestling. And I understand that they want to change that perception, but instead of denying the fact that they're wrestling, what they should do is be proud of their wrestling, and that could help change the perception.
The problem is that they're not changing the perception of – they don't give a shit about perceiving changing the perception of the company, because the company, WWE, is wrestling, right? That's what they are
I thought TNA was wrestling. Wasn't there their slogan before they decided to cross the line?
Well, in mass media, TNA is wrestling, right? And so rather than changing what it is that they do in their company, they just say, no, we're sports entertainment now. We're not wrestling. So there's a stigma attached to wrestling. Yes, because you are the fucking stigma, you moron.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part. And I would have loved to have been on the other end of the phone. I just would have loved to hear, like, could you imagine? Like,
they don't just call them up and mention it. They call them up angry. Well, they're yelling about it.
And talking about, we don't have wrestlers, we have superstars. And I just
change it. And the newspaper went, change it.
Change this, you know?
Yes, basically, they said no.
But that's great. To me, that's just, I would think that, I would love to have been on the other end of the phone and listen to that conversation.
Yeah,
but
I would have been. We're getting off this. I want to talk about this. A lot of people are talking about, like you say, Miz is getting the blame. I'm not blaming the Miz. I think it's Cena. And I think a lot of it is that the Rock has sat there and made Cena not so cool. The Rock has sat there, and a lot of people that might have had minor interest in the scene, or at least understand him, are now going, he's getting beat up. Well, who gives a fuck? Fuck that guy.
I think
the fact that if Cena had come out and held his own with the Rock, then he would have gotten the bump. But he hasn't held his own with the Rock, and I think the thought that he would be able to, and this would create three-way interest, has been being misunderstood. I think that a lot of the reason the rating went down is the Rock has, by accident, I think in attempting to build interest, instead taking away some of Cena's drawing power. He's being exposed as not being as cool, not being as good a wrestler, not being as talented.
Well, I'd just like to point out that in the last 5 minutes, you've wanted to put your cock in someone's mouth. You've talked about Cena holding his own, and then you talked about a three-way with Cena. I'm just not judging, I'm just putting it all out there. But
well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the problem isn't Cena so much as, well, you should say, I think the problem is that...
Pretty soon I'm going to break your back and make you humble.
Humble,
bump
yes.
You in your ass.
Well, my brother's name is Blair.
Yes.
With Cena, he's been owned on the mic by The Rock. And his responses have been shitty.
Yeah, he's been owned on the mic by The Rock and owned in a physical confrontation by The Miz.
And then
what's left?
That's what I'm saying, is that then a guy that no one takes seriously is beating the shit out of him. What does that make Cena look like?
Yeah, you know? I think people are really underestimating. I have first thought The Rock should go on and end WrestleMania, and I still kind of think that, but now I'm starting to wonder, simply from the fact that the other two guys to me don't look like main eventers. Hunter and Undertaker look the scene as the or if The Rock is the biggest star at Mania and Austin is the second biggest star at Mania,
let's
Cena,
have Austin versus
Cena
Rock.
And Miz are not number 3 and 4.
No, but
could we have The Rock versus Austin?
That would be lovely. Yes,
I would pay for that.
That would be tremendous. And HBK can be the ref.
Yeah.
I really think that...
I'm the man with the 10-inch.
I mean, we're talking
way.
About Hunter Taker going on last. I still think that Cena Miz needs to go on last because the crowd is going to be waiting for that Rock moment. And
I agree. Here's a question, though. The Rock is hosting. How many times does The Rock show up at Mania to host events? How many times does he show up backstage? And how many times does he show up in the ring prior to that?
I think backstage, I say in the ring, I think he comes out at the beginning and does his thing, right, to open the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think he comes out, obviously, I think in front of the live crowd he makes two appearances. This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
One at the beginning, and of course one at the Cena, in the Cena match. Backstage, 5 or 6.
He's all over the show. It's a four-hour event.
Yeah, it's a four-hour event, so I think you have him, maybe with Santino, a skit
okay.
with Santino. You have him with Austin backstage, right? You have him...
You only have that backstage? I know they're going to have something with them.
Yeah, backstage. That's only backstage. I can't...
Okay.
You can't... I mean, especially at WrestleMania, and you're walking out down the aisle and walking back, and it's a big... stadium, big venue. This isn't like going down the ramp 5 or 6 times at a Raw or a house show, right? I mean, it's got to be a big deal when Rock comes out in front of
That's
the
true.
Live
Otherwise,
crowd.
It's the law of diminishing returns.
Precisely, and the biggest return, you have to have him there at the beginning because people are going to be expecting it. But and again, he's got to do his quote-unquote hosting duty. But you've got to then save that until the Cena match, because that's when people are going to be expecting it and wanting it, and it's going to be.
That is why
more.
He still. I do think he still could go on last, but now I'm starting to understand why it wouldn't. I'm a little bit questioning it, as I say, but
I still can't. I can't.
By the way,
anything.
Anybody who doesn't know the law of diminishing returns, probably the best way to find out about that would be from the great Jim Rohn, the second greatest radio personality of all time, probably behind, well, there's also Art Bell and of course, the great Howard Stern.
Art Donovan?
No, Art Bell and the great Howard Stern, the
who?
Greatest. No, not
Muhammad
who.
Ali.
Who?
Hmm?
Huh?
Who'd he ever beat?
Who? No, not Jim Neidhart.
Oh. Who? Look,
who?
From who knows where?
Wayne, who knows what?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's...
We'll save that for a couple weeks from now when we do an April Fool's show.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Do you want the next subject, or we're going to talk about the CM Punk and Randy Orton? I kind of want to hear your opinion on that.
Okay.
Because we haven't really talked about that. That is the third biggest match on Raw going into Mania.
I disagree.
Pardon me?
I disagree, but okay.
Okay, well, what's the third biggest match on Raw going into Mania?
Hunter and Taker.
Okay, I guess that is a Raw one. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's call it the fourth biggest.
Okay.
Okay.
And probably the fourth or fifth biggest
on the show.
On the whole show.
Yeah. Yeah, because Mania really is the
this
media
is
hype.
4 hours.
Yeah, and the media hype at from SmackDown is so minimal. I mean, they're not looking at anybody who's watching. They're not trying to get anybody who feels like to watch more SmackDown more. They're certainly not. Doesn't feel like they're trying to sell Mania from SmackDown. Their selling of Mania is coming from Raw.
Well, kind of. I mean, when you look at SmackDown, you've got the Del Rio Edge, right?
Yes.
And you've
Orton,
got Cody. Cody and Ray.
And Ray.
And that really is about it. It looks like they're doing something with Kane and Big Show and Thor and such, and that looks like that's going to kind of materialize. To be quite honest, I didn't watch SmackDown this last week, so last Friday I had a hockey game, so I didn't get to see it, and so I don't know if they've officially announced a match yet for that, but I mean
they're building up something there. Yeah, but
we're about 2 weeks away. So.
Yeah, we're about 2 weeks away. But yeah. Anyways, back to the CM Punk now has had everybody, including Mason Ryan, had their head kicked in by Orton. So now it looks like it's a one-on-one match. What are your thoughts? With 2 weeks to go, how do you like the Orton and Punk build?
You know what? To me, it just seems a little too soon. Like, I mean, now we've got 2 weeks, so. If we'd pushed it back a week and we'd had Mason Ryan this coming week get kicked in, if that's the route that they're going to have Punk go all by himself against Orton, and then you have 1 week with Punk, one show, one Raw with Punk realizing that he's got to go on his own, right, mm-hmm. and cutting a promo probably about Faith, right,
mm-hmm.
and then whoever's going to then debut at WrestleMania to help Punk, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of speculation that somebody new is going to join Nexus to help Punk at WrestleMania. I think it's just as possible that just all the members of Nexus are going to run out and beat the shit out of Orton anyways, even though they've been banned, because that's a heel move. You know, you get a chance to be there, you all get kicked in, you lose your chance, and you do it anyways behind the rest back. That's a heel move, whether there's somebody else new debuting or not. But I'm starting to wonder if there's going to be a run-in into that match, if Nexus is actually going to play a role. And the reason I think that is, I'm looking at Cole and Lawler can't be much. I mean, Lawler, though, he's tyrannous for his age, is still 60-something.
He's a Tyrannosaurus? 60, is that what you just said?
Tremendous.
Oh, tremendous. Okay.
He's still 60, I believe 60,
true.
What is he, 64 or something like
something
that?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, and Cole, who's not an athlete and not young either, he's in his mid-40s and not trained and whatever. So you're going to have a lot of run-ins, I believe, in that match. I don't think Ross now is going to call that match.
But
I don't believe Ross will call any match. I believe Ross will do a run-in. I believe Austin is there. Swagger is there. I believe Ross will do a run-in. I believe Brian Christopher, a grandmaster who we have been in contact with. I texted him this morning.
He's supposed to be coming on.
He's supposed to be calling us soon, so we'll have him in. But grandmaster
Sensei. Is he going to do a run-in?
I believe he may do a dance-in. But I believe Grandmaster Sexy is coming
that
in.
That match has got to match, you talk about Greg DeHammer Valentine in 45 minutes. That match is going to have to be 45 minutes just for Grandmaster. He's going to dance.
Well, it is a four-hour show.
He's going to have to sit down probably in the crowd for about 15 minutes just to get his wind back.
Well, maybe they'll have some oxygen by the ringside this time.
Do they have the carts?
They have the WrestleMania carts.
That would be great if they did
that. But, and then Bradshaw. So JBL, Austin, Swagger, Ross, Brian Christopher, plus Lawler and Cole. I believe you've got so many, and possibly Jimmy Hart even, yeah.
No.
So I believe you're going to have so many run-ins for that to hide the fact that the match itself can't be that good,
but
I'm not sure you're going to really have a run-in for Orton and Punk. It might, in fact, be that one-on-one match,
yeah.
And Nexus might just be backstage, him giving them a pep talk ahead of time, or maybe even Punk saying, I don't need you, you know?
If it is the main event... Or in a main event, if it is just a one-on-one, it very well could steal the show.
It could be the best match in the show,
yeah.
Then. I'm hoping they do give Orton and Punk one-on-one and give them between 15 and 20 minutes, and let's see what happens.
Yeah. By the way, talking about the Lawler and Cole thing, I do have to put over the Ankh-Cole lock.
The Ankh-Cole lock?
That's what he's calling it?
That's a fantastic name. That certainly tops the coal mine or coal miners. Absolutely.
That makes me that makes me love Michael Cole just with that one move. I swear to God, that's just.
Does Swagger call his the ankle fucked it up lock?
Maybe, yes.
He hurts Ross with it. Okay. I'll let you have the next subject here. Grandmaster is on the line. Will you hit the next subject, or do you want to get to him now?
Well, if we want to get to Grandmaster, if he's on the line, I don't want to keep him. I don't want to keep waiting.
Right.
I mean,
okay, excellent. I'm
star.
Turn it up. Hey, Brian, how you doing? What?
Hi.
What? How was your big return? Tell me about that moment.
Do you see me? That was great.
Are you okay? Did you do something? Did you hurt yourself? Or
no? Why?
Did you, run to the phone?
I'm glad I got to talk to my dad. I own my dad. I'm the top Lawler ever.
Well, you were one of the biggest stars in wrestling in the 90s.
You saw that, eh? I was. The greatest, too cool, former tag team champions.
Do you need a moment?
No, why?
Did you run to the phone or something? Did you have to?
No, I've been on hold with you guys for 10 minutes.
You seem out of breath.
No, why? I'm in the best shape of my life. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks.
Okay, you know what? I was going to ask about whether or not you're going to be playing a role for Mania. That's my own speculation. Any role upcoming at Mania?
No. I can't. I'll be there. I can't tell you what I got to do. They got to have me there. Even if it's at Access. They haven't talked to me yet. I'm just going to go. I assume they want me at Access to sign autographs.
Well, yeah, the lineup will be huge because you were one of the biggest stars of the 90s.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, you know what? I'm a little bit worried about you. I think maybe, why don't you go lie down, maybe take a cup of water, and we'll talk later?
No, I'll call back. You guys call anytime, please. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And we'll be happy to call any time, as long as we can get that quality of an interview.
Yeah, thanks, Grandmaster. We had to let him go here, but no.
We need to let him go. I mean, all the questions I was asking him and all the questions you asked him really seemed to be... He was thinking about it too much, out of breath.
Yeah, I think that was tough. I hope he's okay. He just seemed like he was blown up there, I guess, you know, and tired. Maybe he just finished a workout.
I don't know what he was doing.
I mean, he looked in great shape on
Ross. He
looks
to me
he's
been working out a lot.
He's keeping in great shape. I don't think he didn't look, bloated at all. I think that's, what he was doing. So.
No. Well, maybe he's clean now, and that's why he looks bloated.
I think that's true, too. I just remember with Matthew Perry, after he got clean on Friends, how he kind of blew up a bit. But, yeah, let's hit the next subject here. And I think you wanted to talk about Jeff Hardy.
I want to talk about Jeff Hardy, and you want to, like, this is trying to, we're trying to be more positive today. It's trying to be the shiny, happy people version of Talk Wrestling.
Hold on.
So
here.
We could talk about Jeff Hardy, or we can talk about Choose Your Own Adventure books. Is something, I know you were mentioning.
I don't know too much about them, other than I think that's a fucking beautiful idea.
WWE is releasing Choose Your Own Adventure books. I'm not sure how many of you remember this from when you were a child, but Choose Your Own Adventure books were
a great gimmick.
And WWE doing that, the quality is going to be so shit, and yet you're combining it with Choose Your Own Adventure. I don't see how this can't be the greatest thing that's ever happened to me all time, all my life.
Well, it probably will be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. But I don't know about...
What?
You know...
Is that Grandmaster still on?
I don't know what he's doing, this Grandmaster. He's,
quit fucking around with the computer while we're trying to do a show.
He really wants to talk to us. Like you're doing Grandmaster really wanted to talk to us. I don't know, but I think that these Choose Your Own Adventure books are going to be, who knows how they're going to be written or what they're going to look like, but just the concept alone made me smile.
Okay, yeah, no, just the concept alone makes me smile, too. I will be purchasing one of those, absolutely, because I don't think you can read one of those on an e-book reader and it be the same in any way.
No.
It needs to be your own adventure book.
On your Kindle, yeah.
It's just fantastic. In fact, I'm wondering why I took this to 2011 to do that, for fuck's sake.
They're stupid.
Yeah. So, all right, let's head into Jeff. Well, just to talk a little TNA, because unfortunately...
It exists.
Yeah, unfortunately it exists. So we're going to talk a little TNA. First off, just a lot of people are shitting on the worst segment maybe in wrestling history, they're calling it. Samoa Joe and Pope.
Oh,
any thoughts on that at all?
It's typical. It's a typical Vince Russo, this is a good idea moment. You know, this is just... And it doesn't surprise me. It really, it's just shit. And it's part of
When a guy pulls a knife on another human being, and the crowd, live crowd, responds by laughing,
yeah.
I think maybe it didn't go the way you planned it. Yeah. I think there may have been a problem with the show.
Did Vince Russo...
Just terrible.
Did Vince Russo book the Big Al Tank Abbott biker jacket on a pole match?
It was on a pole. So
okay, yeah, sorry.
Another dumb question. It was on a pole.
Yes, okay. No, yes. That's the last time that someone pulled a knife out that I can really remember and it getting, you know, laughter. You know, and
You know what? Because Vince Russo has a history of doing things he's done before and learning from it.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's the boggling part, is that the Vince Russo is clearly an intelligent human being that is human, so he's going to make mistakes, but he's able to learn from them and grow as an individual allow for his...
He becomes a better booker
from what he's done before. It really is.
That's what's really impressive about that guy. That's why he puts on these fantastic shows that somehow don't do as bad in the ratings as they should. And Jeff Hardy was buried the shit out of this show. But I want to talk about this. They're bringing Jeff Hardy back.
Oh,
okay. Now they're bringing him back. I mean, we don't know a timetable, but it will be shortly.
Tomorrow,
they're bringing
probably.
Him back, meaning A, he's not going to rehab. B, he's not being fired. There's no reason to believe he won't do it again in the future. Four, what does it show to the other people in the back? What does it show as an example? I think there's some correlation to be made actually between Shawn Michaels in 1996, 1997, and Vince McMahon and Jeff Hardy now.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, they were both popular, peaked, you know, in ring, I guess. I don't know Jeff Hardy, you know, as the in ring worker, obviously, but
he's a very good when he's motivated,
right? Yeah, and he can be, and as could Shawn. And they talk about the difference and the parallel and correlation in 1998. Shawn Michaels lost to Austin, and he went home.
He went home,
and they tried to bring it, and he was going to try to bring
him
back.
His new wife introduced him to God. Jeff Hardy just got married
That's right, and maybe he'll find God. Maybe he can go to church with Vince Russo.
That would be fantastic.
And they could talk about how they can fit a blow-up doll into their next match.
Or they can talk about how 10,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was around, like
yes.
Pope De Niro mentioned on Raw.
I hope that was just supposed to be a heel move.
I hope so, too. I hope Vince Russo does know that that we're in the year 2011.
AD,
after death.
Addy. Oh.
No. But, yeah, so, I mean...
I am godlike.
You are godlike. Your name is Addy, just like my name is Mo, because, see, I was born in Denmark.
Yes.
Then moved to Canada.
Morton Downey
Jr. Blue-eyed, and yeah. Yeah, so we just go by Mo. It's just easier.
Yes.
But, yeah. Not a lot of Muslims in Denmark, in case you're wondering. But there's some.
There probably are some.
There's some, actually.
Let's go to Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
Great. Holy
Jeff Hardy,
shit,
but here's
got off
the thing.
The rails there.
Yeah, well, this show often does. I think that's part of the... And by the way, Samoa Joe just texted me. He wants to come on have an interview with him before the end of the show here. We only have about 10 minutes left, so we'll get to that in a moment. Jeff Hardy...
bottom line here, Jeff Hardy's fucking coming back as a fucking baby face.
Here's the thing. Now, I'm pissed off that he's coming back without getting any sort of help. I'm pissed off what it means to the back. I'm pissed... I mean, you can't expect Matt Hardy to help him, because Matt Hardy looks like he has a problem, too.
Well, they can eat grapes together.
But they can make wine out of those grapes
drink
it with Kevin Nash.
There you go.
But my problem is, if he's coming back as a babyface, why the fuck didn't you just have somebody from Immortal fucking lay him out on the ramp at Victory Road?
Yeah.
Fucking guys can't perform. Somebody goes in and faces Sting in a real match. The match goes 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever Sting can go. It goes over, and you have a reason for Jeff Hardy to come back as a babyface. If you're bringing him back as a babyface anyways, and you never should have turned the fucker heel to begin with.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, we turned Hogan heel when he was his most popular character, and that worked out. So we're just going to keep fucking trying it, because it worked well with Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it worked well with Austin.
Yes.
You know...
Well,
but,
Austin was entertaining, though.
Well, Austin was entertaining, but it killed the ratings. It killed the pay-per-view buys. It started a downward trend for the business.
Yeah.
And they did that. So it doesn't matter. You're bringing him back. Why the fuck didn't you cut an angle to get out of that fucking match before you did it, and to bring him back as a babyface?
How
hard would that have been?
Well, you said it, and we didn't even talk about it the last show, and it didn't even really cross my mind. You said that. Why didn't you cut an angle? Well, fucking Angle was there. Angle was not on the show.
Yeah, Kurt Angle was not on the show.
How do you not get Kurt Angle there?
Well, no, not like he was the only person on the poster.
Yeah,
for the show or anything.
But I mean, the reality is, and you talk about why couldn't you do this and why couldn't you do this, and listen to an audio with Dave Meltzer. To me, that sums it up to me. And now, we went on our Venom.
By the way, if any of you aren't members, the membership for Figure Four, F4W Observer Online, fantastic. We love Meltzer's. He's
Brian,
the man.
Yeah,
he's the ultimate big fan.
Yeah, and I mean, Dave, just saying, the reality from what he was able to find out is that just nobody could think on the fly there. When that situation happened, there was nobody there to think on the fly. And that's what we're, that takes my anger not quite away, but it displaces my anger now to just sadness. And I don't give a shit anymore, really, because if that's what we're dealing with, then my expectations now, I'm essentially expecting every Impact and every TNA pay-per-view to, by default now, be -3 stars. And so if they have all their matches on their show be 3 stars on the show, that will move the show up now to me to a dud.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, really what you're probably more likely to see is 16 seconds worth of wrestling in the first hour of Impact, like we received this last week. Total nonstop action, mind you.
Action.
Yeah,
love
that's
it.
That's when I think, well, you're talking about displacing the anger for sadness. How about displacing the anger towards Dixie? How about, does Dixie have any leaders? Like, one thing
no.
I can say about Vince McMahon, whether I think he's a little out of touch for certainly with both pop culture and with, after all, the man got Rick Rolled, with pop culture And with current sporting outlook out there in the UFC and these things, I do think that that happens. A man's in his mid-60s as well. You know, it's difficult so for him necessarily to keep up with that. So I think he's out of – you cannot question he's a leader. He has leadership qualities. When he walks to the ring, even when he was – when he does a conference call for his investors, when he even when he's an announcer, you sense Vince McMahon's leadership qualities. Linda McMahon obviously also has the leadership qualities. She did run the corporation, probably not to the level of Vince, and it didn't come across on TV when she was portraying a character. But behind the scenes, and also in her run for the Senate, there's no question Linda McMahon has leadership qualities. I think Stephanie has shown some leadership qualities. Good or bad, their leadership qualities. That was a knock on Shane McMahon, lack of leadership qualities. But Vince McMahon is a leader. You sense it from him.
Yeah, there's no question.
What kind of leader do you sense that Dixie is? Does she have any leadership qualities at all?
Well, there's no question that, I mean, and this has been said for years and years and years, and it's the reason that the WWE won the war, is that Vince is the boss, and then the buck stops with Vince, right? When you talk about Dixie being the leader, as I said, it's very clear to me now, after this, couple Jeff Hardy incidents, just the way that Hogan was able to go on TV and shoot on her. You know, basically everything since we started this show that we've talked about with TNA makes it very clear that Dixie doesn't have any leadership qualities whatsoever. Dixie likes to go on Twitter. Dixie likes to sit in the back. They go, "Hey, Dixie, how does this look?" And she goes, "Yeah, cool." And then she goes into the crowd and shakes people's hands. Dixie is someone that is a public... that's her background, is public relations. And that's what she knows, and that's what she does, and that's what she's good at, is being that smiley face. I mean, she's a very nice-looking woman that can go out and talk about her wrestling company that she has, and people can go, "Oh, great, well, that Dixie Carter, what a great lady." But in terms of what actually happens and the ability to say, you know, to the buck stops with Dixie, no.
No, and you know what, I'd like to say this first off before I go off on Dixie a little more here.
Yeah.
First off, I would fuck her. But and also I'd like to say TNA, fuck you. But here's the thing, I what will shake her up? What will get her to change things?
Yeah,
and we always question this. How about this? She's been very fortunate. WCW had a performer who died, Louis Spicoli died under their watch. I can't think of anybody else who died off their watch. On their watch, off the top of my head, some people shortly after leaving the company did pass away.
Mm.
WWE's had several people shortly after leaving the company pass away. We've had
a few people in the company,
Eddie Guerrero and Brian Pillman and Owen Hart. There's been tragedies while they're there and how they've handled it, or people who passed shortly after, sometimes questionable, sometimes not. But I don't think TNA's ever had somebody who shortly left the company or is currently employed with the company pass away. But it is bound to happen, the way they are running their so-called drug policy, way they are letting Jeff Hardy set this example and do his things. They are going to have a performer pass away shortly after or while he's currently employed by them. And how will Miss the nicest person in the world, Dixie, react to that?
Did Kurt Hennig... I think it might have been before the Carters and Panda Energy.
I believe it was before. Kurt
Hennig and I think...
it was a blip on the radar.
Crash Holly, too. But I think that was still
they were on the weekly pay-per-views
doing it. So
yeah.
I don't think they'd even gotten on to Fox Sports or
No, hasn't really had to deal with it under her watch. So let's talk about that. How would she deal with it? Would it change anything? Is it going to happen?
No. No, no, and no. I have absolutely zero faith in anybody in that company. Fuck them. We don't motherfucking need them. We don't motherfucking want them. And, would anything change? You know, the thing is you talk about, you know, you'd like to think as human beings that, if AJ Styles died under their watch, that something would change with them. But you'd also like to think that if someone was fucking stoned before their fucking main event, and they're there the whole fucking show fucking stoned, that they wouldn't have them fucking go out there.
Well,
that
actually,
you'd be able
he
to
showed up
to
the show fine and got stoned as the show
went
on.
Yeah, he got stoned at the show. That's the beautiful part. It's like, hey, you know, and you couldn't have thought on the fly and figured out a way around that, right? I mean,
so you don't think if a person died that would shake Dixie up and go, "I gotta change things."
I don't think
she's.
I have zero confidence.
She wants to be liked and
zero, none, no.
And I don't blame you for having that. That's I almost I do wonder if that's the only thing they could do it at this point.
Don't think so.
Maybe you're right. Nope. Maybe you're right. Unfortunately, I do want to say this, though. The AJ Styles and Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, they had a really nice angle to end the show. They really sold it well. That was great. I'd understand AJ's not back right away. I mean, which is amazing to me that a face takes a major blow and is not back the next week, because I'm used to John Cena being going through fucking spotlights and being run over by cars and fucking beat up by 75 men and being back the next week and not even selling the injuries, which is another reason I hate John Cena.
And
fuck you, Superman.
And I'm used to taking a blow and popping right back up from your mom. So, but no, they did end it well with
yeah,
that.
We're staying positive.
Yes, we are. and we did.
And by the way, you may find now that you're going to be testing positive.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Uh-oh. I am itchy. But Christopher Daniels also back at the tapings. Unclear.
Despite being under contract with, we don't know if that's going to show on TV, because he's under contract with ROH, and it seems like TNA is going, fuck him. They can't even afford a lawyer.
He's allowed.
And they're probably right. I don't think ROH can afford a lawyer.
He's allowed to show up under a mask.
Yeah,
he's allowed to be Suicide or Curry Man, but he wasn't under a mask, and so I don't know. I mean, and it's possible that something got worked out ahead of time. I mean,
later.
We don't know, or if
or
it's
like
off.
I say, they just might say fuck ROH. You know, they can't afford to sue. It's like AC/DC or no Metallica threatened to sue ECW, and ECW said, go ahead.
What?
What can you take from it? We don't have anything.
Yeah.
I got Joe on the line. I just quickly want to. It was awesome for you to text me like that, Joe. I really appreciate. Hey, man.
Hey.
Great. Really appreciate it. So, I guess you want to weigh in on this, but first off, I want to talk about when you first came in. You had a great undefeated Samoan submission machine. You came from ROH. You had a ton of momentum. You were really, really over. And I just want to know, looking back from today, what you think of that time in your life.
Fuck Russo!
No, I don't know if that directly answered my question, but what about your build with Kurt Angle? You guys went to like an MMA build, and you did a big buy rate and a tremendous MMA style match that you did. Is anything like that going to be on the line again in the future?
Fuck Russo!
You left and you came back with a knife, and you were the Nation of Violence. Was that your idea, or
fuck Russo?
How about your current angle with Pope? Do you enjoy anything? Is that
fuck Russo?
No, I think I understand your point on that one. Anything last you want to say? Anything you want to go out? I appreciate your time.
Fuck Dixie. Fuck Bischoff. Fuck Hogan. Fuck Russo. Thanks for coming on, Joe. What a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Yeah. He's a nice guy. I really, maybe a little bitter.
Yeah. I don't know. He just, you know, everything seemed.
He seemed
like a normal guy to me.
Well, he was making a normal guy working at TNA. He's making sense, actually.
Yeah.
So, okay.
They're making dollars. They're making sense.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. All right. I think that's about it for this week. OUT.
I think we've hit everything we sort of want to talk about for this week. So, we are going to be having some more guests lined up. Some more people have texted us and emailed us and asked to come on. So.
I understand that the 2.5 stoned men, that an advance tape has been sent to my home.
It's arrived.
Jeff Hardy, Taz, Charlie Sheen, 2.5 stoned men, and Buff next week. We hear we might be hooking up Buff, and maybe if we're lucky, another guest.
He wants to come on. So that's it. If you guys, we always love your questions. We didn't get a chance to do the mailbag. We've got a couple in the mailbag, so we still want to get. But if you want to throw it in there, it's wetalkwrestling@aim.com. And if you're following us on iTunes or through any other website, our website is wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com. That'll get you right to us. So that's it for another week. I guess in the meantime,
we're also on Twitter.
Joe, we are on Twitter. That's true. That's true. Twitter, We Talk Wrestling handle. So look us up. And I guess we're getting on Facebook too. But that's up to Mo. So you know, coming to Facebook near you in 2014, we'll be there. But that's it, I guess. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. And another edition
and
of
Ring a Dong Dong Danny, and in 2014 I'll still hate Facebook, but I'll be on.
Yes, you will. Well, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.